Thank you for tuning in to the Centerpoint Church Podcast. Our prayer is that you are ministered to as you listen in. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
What is it? A Bible? How many of y'all believe this? Turn to Genesis. That's the first one. Genesis chapter 1. That's the first chapter. Some of y'all caught that. Some of you didn't. I thought it was pretty funny, but it's beside the point. If you believe it, say, I do. If you believe it, say, amen. Okay. And God said, do you believe that? And God said, this is in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse between the water and separate water from water and land, and it was so. Verse 9, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. Next thing, and it was so. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. And it was so. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And it was so. Verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And it was so. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind. And it was so. Now here's what I want you to pay closer attention to. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move among the ground. You know what the Greek translation of all is? Thank you. All. Got some Greek philosophers in here. All. All. It says, God said, then God said, I just asked, do we believe this? Everybody, amen, I do. Do we believe this? Then God said, we read through this, and it was so. Then God said, let's have over all the creatures and all the earth. And it was so. Then God said, verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground. Everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food, and it was so. That's God saying to us, I give. That's God speaking, I give. That's God saying, do we believe it? He didn't say, do we, I'm asking you, do we believe it? We said, I do. And God said. And God said. Today I want to talk to you about speak. Speak. Now, speak is not just words that are coming out of your mouth, okay? I want us to understand that. Speak is not words that we're just talking. Speak can also be things that we think and that we choose to think and dwell on. That's what I'm talking about with speak. Now, if you hear nothing else that I say all day long, I want you to hear this next statement. So if you've got a phone, take it out that you can take your little notes. Or if you've got a pen, you can do it old school and write on a piece of paper. However you want to do it. If you have a photographic memory, take a picture. Most of us don't. Who has a photographic memory? Anybody in this place? So then everybody should be either doing something with their thumb on their phone or writing something down when I say this next statement, right? Because nobody's got a photographic memory. Remember this. What you speak into existence usually comes into existence. What you speak into existence usually comes into existence. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know that works in your mind too? And the mind translates into how you approach and how you look at things. I'm a large individual, and I have a habit sometimes of things don't go my way or things don't do like I want them to do, that I have this stare. Well, sometimes that stare can get me in trouble, or what I think would be in trouble. And really, truly, I'm not speaking, but I am speaking. And God has dealt with me with over the years. But sometimes it still slips. And it really slipped. Actually, we were shopping at Opry Mills Mall. Over Christmas, or before Christmas, and God really dealt with me about this. Because over Christmas, we're standing in the parking lot talking. And some dude pulls up behind us and just sits there like we're fixing to pull out. Well, we don't pull out because we're talking. I mean, Amelia's there. And she has kind of inherited the same look, if y'all don't know my daughter. But it's like when she was born and as she's growing up, Janet says, oh, gosh, I got two of them. But anyway, she kind of inherited that same look. So this guy, he pulls up, and he's in this old beat-up plumbing truck, and he's standing there looking at us. And I'm just looking, and it's like, dude, we're talking. We're not going to go anywhere. You might as well go on, find you another parking place. Of course, Opry Mills at Christmas time, I don't know if y'all have ever been there, but they ain't a parking place to be found nowhere. Nowhere. So we're sitting there, we're talking, we're going to go. Well, as this guy drives by, he kind of looks over at us and gives one of those you can die and go somewhere looks. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of hit me the wrong way. So I looked back at him. Then he looked back. So I walked out to the edge of my car, and I'm looking at him like this. Well, he waits till he gets all the way down right in front of the mall, stops his truck, and gets out of his truck. And he looks back at me and commences to calling me everything but a person, yelling across the parking lot. I'm standing there like this, going. But then it hit me. After I got back in the car, it hit me. And God spoke to me. He says, what you speak, it's not necessarily with your words, but it's how you portray. And it's how you look also. What did you just say to that guy? I was like, well, probably wasn't nice. Probably wasn't, I don't know. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 says this, says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 13, 2. Proverbs 13, 2. Write it down. Look at it. Put it in your phone. Proverbs 13, 2. From the fruit of his lips, in other words, from the speak of his lips, a man enjoys good things. What you speak into existence usually comes into existence. And that's working through your mind, or that's coming out of your mouth through your lips. What you speak into existence usually comes into existence. Have you ever said, and like I said, remember, we're talking about what you think into existence, what you speak. Have you ever said, I I know it's just not going to work out. I know it's not going to go that way. And remember, I'm not talking about just your words. I'm talking about you, and you're talking about yourself. Here's the deal. You see, Satan is the father of chaos, destruction, and lies. And he's also the father of negative, which creates chaos, destruction, and lies. And Satan wants to destroy your life, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Because the outside in, he knows he can't get to you there. All things on the outside, all that stuff is just stuff. But if he can get you from the inside, if he can get you being negative about you, he can destroy you. If he can get you thinking from the inside that you're bad, that it's not going to work out, that you're never going to get that job, that you're never going to get that promotion, that you just really shouldn't be there, or shouldn't be with him, or shouldn't be with her, or shouldn't be, you know. And when I say that, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm thinking you're Satan's trying to get you in here to where you just kind of shrivel up and back away. And when you begin to think that way, here's the deal. When you begin to think that way about yourself, when you begin to speak that, whether it's in your head or whether it's out loud, you begin to live that. You begin to live that way. You begin to live in that negativity. Look at the world. Turn on the news. Is there any positive on the news anywhere? Maybe a little bit. I'm not going to say none. Maybe a little bit. Turn on the TV shows. Most of your TV shows are about drama. And I'm not talking about the word drama. I'm talking about drama. Y'all know what drama is? Who knows what drama? You know what I'm talking about? Drama. You know. That's what the world focuses on. Well, when I say the world, understand, Satan has got people deceived because he's working from the inside out. And when it comes from the inside out, that's what's portrayed out. And we begin to live that way. You know, probably the one that he uses the most is I can't. Those two simple words, I can't. He works them from the inside out. I can't. I can't, I can't, I can't. I can't tithe because I can't afford it. I can't lose weight or gain weight or whatever the situation is because I just can't. I can't pray because I don't know what to say to God. I can't get over this anger situation. I can't get over what he did to me or what she did to me. I can't get over, you don't know, because I can't get over. I can't go talk to them. I can't, might as well be changed into this. I'm not willing to do what it takes. I'm not willing to do what it takes. I can't is one of those words that always bothered me because it haunted me as I was growing up. And it haunted me as an adult too, because you tell yourself you can't. And I determined when my kids were born that I can't was not going to be something that came out of their mouth. And you ask either one of them, they tell you. I can't would not be something, whatever it is. Don't tell me you can't, because you can't. You may not be willing to. I see, and that's the deal. I may not be willing to. I may not be willing to tithe. Yeah, that's what we need to say instead of I can't tithe. Because yes, you can. Yes, you can. Are you willing to? Are you willing to believe what God says? Because, you know, you're talking about tithing. God says, if you give, I'll give it back to you, and you ain't going to outgive me. That's what God says. I didn't say it. It's in here. Go to Malachi. Look it up.
It's in here. So, oh man, you better shut up and go on talking about money. I'm out of here.
I choose to listen to what God says, or I can't listen to it because it hits me hard. I don't know. That's just something that says throw it in. But anyway, the words I can't, you got to take it out of your vocabulary because you can. You got to believe in all sorts of stuff. Like I said, when my kids were born, we took the word I can't out. Well, my daughter loves basketball. Loves basketball. Played basketball her whole life. In my driveway was a goal, basketball goal. Jake ran over it with the truck when he was two, killed it. I had to get another one. Be it. Boy sitting up in there, 2 years old, driving my truck. It was an old truck, so he just pulled it out of gear. He thought he was driving. Drove down the driveway, ran smooth over the basketball goal. I jumped in the truck, knocked him out of the way, and stopped it. I had to get another one. I got another one that was made out of steel, not aluminum. Steel, pipe, put it in the ground. When I put it in, I drew out the court. If you're familiar with basketball, you understand there's, you know, you got the lane, you got the free throw line, you got the three-point line. Well, I also drew out a $5 line. The $5 line was past the three-point line. $5 line was back at the edge of the house. It's about the length of an NBA three-point line. It's about what it was. And my daughter, she was probably 9 or 10 years old at the time I did this. And I told her, and she was just getting into basketball and rolling with it good and getting into her shot good. And she said, I said, you make it here, it's $5. She said, I can't. I said, yeah, you can. Get out there and start shooting. And then she chose to go out in the driveway and start shooting. And when she was about 11, she started making them $5 regularly. And of course, Jake's following along. He's always been able to shoot. He's making the $5 ones regularly. I'm like, oh, no, y'all, we're going to stop this. Y'all killing me. Because one of the rules is I had to see it. They couldn't just come tell me they made it, so I had to see it. So every day I come home, and they're like, Dad, come out in the yard. Come out in the driveway. I'm like, what? Come out in the driveway. I'm thinking to make these. There's five. There's five. There's five. I'm like, no, stop. No more. But you know how they did that? We went on the driveway and practiced. It wasn't just like they threw it up. They went on the driveway and practiced. Every day they went on the driveway and practiced. They originally thought they can't, but when they go out in the driveway, they were willing to do what it takes, and they could. Here's the deal, too. With a little help from Dad, I really didn't mind the money, but I always told him, you can. You can do it. You can make that shot. Speak it into existence. You can do it. You know, I was studying this and I was thinking about Exodus 3 and 4 is a story of Moses when Moses was called. He's out in the middle of the desert. You know, he's killed folk. You got to research the whole thing. But he's killed folk. So here he is in the middle of the desert. He's ran away. He's in the middle of the desert. He's out there tending sheep. God comes to him and says, Moses, you the guy. I want you to go back to Israel. Or not back to Israel, back to Egypt, and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Yes, I know you killed somebody back there. That's beside the point. That's in the past. Remember we was talking about get rid of your past up here today? God don't understand. It's gone. He forgets it. He forgets it. He said, called Moses. He said, I want you to go. Moses, for a whole, like, chapter, Moses is like, I can't go, God. What if the Israelites don't accept me? I can't go, God. What if Pharaoh don't let me in? I can't go, God. What if there's no sign? I can't go, God. What? I can't talk. I can't talk, God. God said, yes, you can go. He said, I'm going to need some help. God said, okay. He says, you see that stick on the ground? This is funny. It's hilarious to me. If you read the Bible, you know it's funny. It's funny. A lot of times we read the Bible, and a lot of times we think, well, I can't read the Bible, it's boring. If you read the Bible, it's hilarious, y'all. But you got to read it. God give Moses this stick. And I can picture this in my head. Moses standing there with a stick and he says, God, I need something to go into Pharaoh's court. He's got magicians. He's got all kinds of stuff. God says, throw your stick on the ground. Bible says Moses threw a stick on the ground. The moment that stick hit the ground, it turned into this humongous snake. And the Bible says Moses ran in fear. Now just think about that. You know, we think that's something holy and something, No. Nope. Moses had a stick, threw it on the ground. Apparently Moses was scared of snakes. Turned into a snake. And I can picture, oh my God. And he starts running away from the snake on the ground. God says, no, hold up. Now grab it by its tail. And he grabs it by its tail. I can picture this too. Moses ran away. So it's like God says, grab it by its tail. I don't think Moses immediately went back and grabbed this snake by its tail. Remember, he just said that he ran from it. I'm sure God had to. You can do it. You can do it, Moses. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. You can do it. Moses is like, okay, God, he's down here. And he's, you know, he's sneaking up on a snake. Right? You ever snuck up on a snake? He's sneaking up on a snake and he grabs that thing by its tail. And the moment he did, it turned back to a stick. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I'm Moses, I'm thinking, oh, that's pretty cool. Let me try that again. I like this. Calls his wife. Hey, watch this. Snake, she runs off screaming. Ah! Grabs that thing back up and goes. If you follow the rest of Moses, he goes into the courts of Pharaoh. Into the courts of Pharaoh. Looks Pharaoh in the eye. This was the greatest ruler of the greatest nation in the world at this time. Looks Pharaoh in his eye and he tells him, you're going to give me all of your workforce. Because you see, that's what the Israelites did. That was Egypt's workforce. He goes and says, you're going to give me all your workforce and I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Person, no, not going to happen. Yeah, because God said so. What kind of boldness is that? But God spoke to him. God spoke to him. You flip on over and you get a man named Gideon. They come to Gideon and God finds Gideon in a wine press. You know, we think of a wine press. A lot of times, when I first started looking, I had to look it up. You know what a wine press is? You know, you think of wine press in today's world, but back in then, it was this big, huge vat that you got inside. A bunch of people actually got inside, and they were stomping these grapes down. Well, he's in a wine press threshing wheat because he's hiding from Midianites who have taken over the country. And he was scared and in the wine press threshing wheat because he didn't want to be seen because they were scared. He was scared they were going to take what little food that he had. But also, the Bible says that he was the weakest of the weakest clan. The weakest of the weakest clan. This dude was scared of his own shadow. And the angel shows up and addresses him this way. Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. And Gideon's looking around. Ain't nobody but him and the angel in the wine press. He's looking around like, who is he talking to? But he looks at him and says, you, mighty warrior. God's called you. God spoke over your life. God has a special thing for you to do. He spoke over your life. To lead the people against the Midianites, to defeat the Midianites. Gideon's like, what? Me? Yeah, you mighty warrior. You. God spoke it. But you know the cool part about this too? And you can familiarize yourself with the stories in Judges chapter 6. You can go read it for yourself. But the cool part about Gideon's story is this too. He had 32,000 men. He steps out and there's 32,000 men wanting to go fight. Now, the Mennonite army is huge. They've got well over hundreds of thousands of men. It's still, you know, it's like 3-1, but there's 32,000 of them. Gideon's like, okay, man, I think we can do this. God said, no, 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 that's too many. Go talk to them, ask them if they're afraid, then go home. He goes out and talks to them, says, you know, if you're afraid, you need to go on to the house. 20,000 packed up and left. Can you imagine being Gideon? Now, first of all, you remember, we're talking about he's scared of his own shadow, but he's bought into what God told him. Hear me, he's bought into what God told him. He's bought in that he's a child of God, because God said it. He's bought in that he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength, because God said it. He's bought into that. You know, sometimes when you believe that and when you buy into that, still things on the outside, remember talking about the outside? Things on the outside can look like it ain't going to happen. 20,000 left. Be like, wait a minute. Where y'all going? 10,000 are left. Gideon's like, well, okay, guess we go. God says, hold up. You still got too many. Now, if I'm Gideon, I'm like, you know, I'd be a chair. I'd be like, flop down. I'd be like, really, God? Yeah, go get them a drink. If they scoop it and lap it like a dog, keep them. If they stick your whole face down, get them gone. 9,700 stuck their face in the water. 9,700 of the 10,000 stuck their face in the water. It took some faith by Gideon to believe what God spoke to him and spoke over him to say, okay, you 9,700, you can go now. But then he had to come back to the 300. Can you imagine being one of the 300 still standing there? Can you imagine? It's 300 of us. Midianite armies out there. What are we going to do? We fixing to die. And they started whining a little bit. You remember when God spoke over Gideon, when the angel came and called him a mighty warrior? You remember what I said, when you speak it into existence? Well, now it's Gideon's turn. He steps up and looks at his men and says, we can do it, guys. You can do it. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. God's got it over you. You see, Gideon became the one that began to speak that encouragement. Gideon became the one that began to speak to his men. And if you know the rest of the story, they did what God asked them to do. But you know what? This is God. This is God. This is the amazing thing about God. This is God. They did what God asked him to do. Go up on this hill, circle around, get a flashlight. They really didn't have a flashlight, but y'all get the picture. Get a horn, get a jar. Break it, blow it, shine the light. They did that. All the Midianite army went crazy down in the valley, killed each other. Killed each other. They didn't have to lift a finger. Didn't have to do nothing. 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 That's God. But they did have to do something. They chose. They didn't say, I can't. They chose to believe and do what God asked them to do. It sounded stupid. What am I going to do with a lantern or a light? What am I going to do with a horn and a jar? This army is the best army in the world. What am I going to do? They got arrows, bows, horses, spears, armor. What am I going to do? God says, I'm speaking this over you. Are you going to choose to? It's like the I can't thing. You going to say I can't, or are you going to choose to do? And then God did it. And God did it. Speak. Speak life over yourself. Speak life over your family. Speak positive. Speak kindness. Speak and tell of the things God has done for you. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. And you know there's an amazing side effect that goes with that. Amazing side effect. Two things. You ever seen them stupid commercials about buy this drug? Buy this drug, but the side effects are you may vomit 12 times a day. Your left two fingers are going to fall off. But you won't have a headache anymore. Y'all ever seen those? They drive me nuts. But the side effects of speaking positive, the side effects of speaking life are this. It's amazing, but it brings huge, huge amounts of joy and peace in your life. Joy and peace. Side effects. That's some pretty good side effects. I don't know about y'all, but that's good side effects. Joy and peace. From the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things. What are you going to speak this year? What are you going to speak this year? What are you going to speak over yourself? Are you going to live in negativity? Are you going to let that speak be in your brain and in your thoughts? What are you going to speak over your family? What are you going to speak over your kids? What are you going to speak over them? Are they just like their uncle? They ain't never going to amount to nothing. They just like their uncle. They just, you know, they're going to do this. They're going to do that. They just like their mom. They just like their dad. Blah, 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 blah. Is that what we're going to speak over our own kids? Are we going to speak? They're a child of God. God has a great purpose. God has a great plan. They're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. What are we going to speak? What are we going to speak to them when they come home and say, Mom, I can't do this. I can't do this grade. I can't learn this. I can't learn algebra. Me either. Some of y'all got that. Some of y'all are like, whoa. Why can't you learn algebra? I can't learn algebra. Are we going to speak to them? Now, you're right. You ain't never going to get it. Or, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm going to help you. Well, I'm going to get a tutor to help you. But, yes, you can. When they come and say, Mom, I can't make the shot. Dad, I can't make that shot. Yes, you can. What are we going to speak over them? What are we going to speak over our job this coming year? Man, my boss stinks. My boss, I ain't going to say that. My boss is just the most negative person ever. Man, my boss ain't never going to give me that promotion. He'll never see nothing I do. He ain't never going to give me that promotion. What you speak into existence usually comes into existence. Or are we going to speak over a job? I'm going to go in. I'm going to do the very best thing I can do today. He's going to see me. He's going to notice how good my work is. And I'm going to get this promotion. I'm going to get this job. And it's amazing the peace that comes. Because here's the deal. So, well, man, I've tried that. And, you know, I went in and I got fired next week. Okay. Guess what? When you get fired from something like that, if you go in with the right way and the right attitude, and you go in believing what God says, you get fired from that job, I promise you, God has a better one for you. Promise you. But you may not be willing to quit, so God says, I'm going to help you. You're fired. Are you willing to trust him and do? And then that next job is like, bam, 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 bam. And you look back next year and say, man, I spoke positive. I spoke what God was telling me. And look where I'm at. Look where I'm at. Pastor Dave was talking about earlier, last year this time, breaking down stuff. But year before that, speaking about a home. Here it is. What's God got next year? Look around. Look around. 31st, next year. Look around. Look around where you're at. Look around. Is there an empty seat beside you? Somebody's going to feel it next year. Look in the back. Everybody turn around, look in the back. We got room for about three more rows. The chair's not even out there. Somebody's going to fill them next year. Not to make the church necessarily large or look good, but somebody's going to fill them that needs to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're coming. They're coming. Molly, you can come on. They're coming. What are you going to speak for next year? What are you going to speak? What are you going to speak? Everyone bow your heads and close your eyes if you would.
We hope you enjoyed this week's sermon here at Centerpoint. For more information, visit us at centerpointbg.com.